Turn to Matthew 10:32. Let me ask y'all a quick question here. How many of y'all have any trouble with relationship problems? Any problems with relationships? Okay. Cheryl, and your kids, you guys have any problems with relationships? Yeah, you're too young to have problems with relationships. Oh, your sister. Oh, okay, yeah. I do understand that. Yes, yes. We do have those trials early in life. I want to share with you something. When I was a kid, this is amazing. There was one verse I knew as a kid growing up. Isn't that wild? I was not grown up in a typical Protestant evangelical. I was born up Catholic. And that is not a denomination known for Bible teaching. Okay? We had something called a missal, which was like a prayer book. But there was one scripture that I always knew as a kid. I don't know when I learned it, how it, but it always stuck in my brain all those years growing up. And this is it. You want to see it? Matthew 10:32. Whoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whoever will deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. That verse hung up inside of me my entire life. It was like this needle. All the years. And I always knew, you know what? I don't want to be denied before God from Jesus. And I want him to, I want to confess him. But the truth is, I never confessed Jesus before men. Until I went to that revival the night that I was born again. I was born again on July 10th, 1971. That night, I went to a little Baptist revival. And at the end, preacher said, you know, if you want to accept Jesus, I said, I mean, I ran up there. And that was the first time I publicly confessed Jesus as a Savior. But I wanted to look at this verse a little bit closer because I believe in this verse, if you hear me out, here's the title, The Secret to Healthy Relationships of Every Sort. There is a fundamental secret to healthy relationships. Okay? I don't mean to be simplistic here, but I mean to be simplistic because there really is a fundamental. I really believe the things of life really can be boiled down where they can be understood by a child. Jesus said, except you become as what? A little child. So truth really can be simple. I think sometimes people miss it because it's so simple. Jesus is basically challenging his followers in this verse to stand up for him before others. Would you agree? You know, it's one thing to believe in his truth himself, but it's another to boldly stand up for Jesus in front of other people. And the problem is, most people struggle with fear of man. In fact, at our retreat, that was what I shared, deliverance from the fear of man. They struggle with fear of man, rejection, intimidation. And they're afraid to stand up for Jesus or for what they believe Jesus said or what they believe because they're afraid of what people are going to think. I mean, it's that simple. And yet, ironically, people tend to respect those who will stand up for what they believe regardless of the consequence. Am I right? How many of y'all, growing up, think back a minute, school, in your growing years, you think back to the one individual that you knew always stood up for the truth, kind of body ostracized and maybe, you know, maybe they're kind of a square. That's kind of a phrase we used back in when I was a teenager. I don't know if they use that anymore. They don't use that anymore. Okay. Well, what would they use now for that? A nerd, a geek, not nice. Don't say it if it's not nice. Huh? Loser. Okay. What would he use that back then too? That one has never lost its bite. But, you know, somebody that just didn't fit in, but they always seem to be consistent about what they believe. They didn't care. Y'all, everybody, you remember or recall? You know, the truth is that we tend to respect people like that. I mean, we may avoid them. We may not want to be. But, you know, when you're hurting, when there's a problem, people tend to gravitate to somebody that they know is consistent. That they know isn't going to bend with the wind. That they know is going to say what they believe is true in spite of what other people think. Am I right? And yet, generally, the crowds don't bend in that direction. Well, I want you to see in this verse what it really says, if you can look through the and see the depth of this verse, is that when you stand up for what the Lord says or stand up for the Lord, you gain His respect. I want you to see that. I want you to consider that. When you stand up for Jesus or stand up for what's right, and you don't back down, you actually gain His respect. That's what He says. When you confess me before man, I will what? Confess you before the Father. I'm going to get into a dialogue with God. Where is Jesus at right now? Anybody? Right now. Is sitting at, so He begins to dialogue with God about you. Now that's cool. You become the topic of a conversation between the Father and the Son when you stand up for what's right for Jesus in front of other people. Heaven notices. There's conversing in heaven about you. I really believe the key, if you look at Luke 11:13, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just tell you what it reads. Luke 11:13 says, listen, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You know what I think the Father does when the Son turns to the Father? Says, Father, there is one down there that is standing up for what's right in spite of popular opinion, in spite of rejection, in spite of fear of man, they're standing up for what's right. The Father says, He sends the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. He sends the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit comes with. The Holy Spirit comes with something called gifts. When the Holy Spirit comes, it's not just a tickly feeling. The sending of the Holy Spirit was so important that Jesus literally told His followers, do not go anywhere, don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes. Remember? And once the Holy Spirit came, then it started it all to flip the world upside down. When the Holy Spirit comes, He comes with gifts. Healing, deliverance, revelation, understanding, knowledge, wisdom, discernment, miracles, clarity, all the wonderful things we need. Provision. Conviction, strength, all of those things come from the Holy Spirit. But what initiates is when we stand up for what's right, Jesus turns to the Father sends the Holy Ghost. I know this is true. For time's sake, I won't get into it, but I had a dream in the summer of 1990 where literally I went in the backyard and a big dove landed on my head, a big bird. And I heard the voice of the Son praying to the Father about me and the church. This was a clear dream, vision. And it was a prophetic thing about what would happen over the next, well, gosh, it's been 15 years now. And from that point on, I began to understand the workings of the Trinity as I never did. How it works. Because I'd been willing to stand up for what was right, to be bold for the truth, to confront authorities, whatever, about the gospel, about the truth of the Word of God, not to compromise with Ben. And a church was a result of it, which was never my intention. A ministry was birthed because I just was hard-headed. My mother used to say, you are so hard-headed. That's what she said. So God uses that, amen? For once, I was hard-headed in the right direction. So the point is today is I want to say God is looking for those who have the guts to stand up for what's right in a relationship. You know the teaching is today? The secret to healthy relationships. You know what the secret to healthy relationships is? To stand up for what's right. To stand up for what's true. To stand up for what you believe. To not bend, to not be a noodle. To not check your spine at the door. Amen? To stand up for what's right. To not care what people think. To have the fear of God and not the fear of man. Amen? Are y'all out there this morning? Look at verse 34. We're just going to look at a couple of verses here of Matthew 10. Bless you. Verse 34. Think not I've come to send peace to the earth. I didn't come to send peace, but a sword. I'm going to set a man against his father, daughter-in-law against her mother, daughter against her mother-in-law. A man's foes will be of his household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter than me more than me is not worthy of me. He that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life and loses it, he that loses his life. People say, well, I thought Jesus came to bring peace. But as far as relationships go, he often following Jesus so often bring anything but peace. I thought he came to bring love. These verses don't look much like love, do they? Mother against father-in-law. Everybody against each other, a house full of strife. I mean, where's the loving shepherd here? You know, surely this is some insert of a scribe in the Middle Ages, these verses. Surely this wasn't in the original book of Matthew. Well, you see this testimony in the life of Christ. See, folks, most people confuse love with compromise at any price. A lot of people confuse being loving with compromising. The truth is, the reason is they grew up in and around compromised relationships. They grew up around parents who tended to dance around issues and never confront things. How many of y'all grew up in a house full of eggshells that everybody tiptoed around? And never confronted things, never dealt things head on, always kind of, there were things never addressed, never spoken to, issues never concluded or resolved. As a result, because we grew up in a compromised environment, we think that's the way how life is. But the truth is, when we're saved, we go to the scripture, it's clear that the Lord commands us to love, which is not to compromise at all. Compromise, it's to love. A lot of times when we grow up, we see people stuffing their feelings, acting phony, living in denial, saying one thing behind people's back, another thing in front of them, and your kids notice that. You know that? Kids notice that real big. And then when you're a child, you can't speak. What do you know? And as you get older, the patterns continue. In fact, let me show you a perfect picture of how this looks in the Bible. Genesis 3:9. This is the way a lot of people live their lives. A little window to your life. Genesis 3:9. This describes where most of the people are most of the time. Just one little two little verses in Genesis 3. This is a story about the serpent beguiling Eve. You know the story. Genesis 3:9. And the Lord called to Adam after he'd sinned with Eve. And he said, "Where are you?" Verse 10. And Adam said, "Listen, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Now, you know, I believe most people live that verse every day. See, suppose you see someone slipping into questionable activity. Suppose you hear someone has a bad attitude or a bad spirit. Suppose you know someone that's starting to believe a lie or speaking evil or gossip. You're aware of someone who's doing something that's lacking in integrity to someone else, perhaps. And you care for this person, and you know something unrighteous is going on. And so the Lord whispers to your spirit. He says, go and speak the truth to them. Go and confront them. Go and love them. The last couple of verses of the book of James says, if any man do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he that converts him will save a sinner from a multitude of death. So the Lord speaks to your heart. Go, stand, confess me before men. Stand up for what's right before men. I need you to do it. I don't send angels anymore. I send the body of Christ. You're my hand. Go. But instead we say, I heard your voice, and I was what? And I was, because I was exposed, and so I hid myself. See, the same reason as Adam is because of what's sin. Because you're still beaten down by sin, I'm unworthy, I can't do it. Adam was beating himself up. I can't do it. I'll hide, I'm not worthy. Or we'll come fill in the blanks of white. What happens is Jesus loses respect for you. Jesus thinks, look, you're the one I need, and you're refusing to obey me here. He wanted you to bear him and his truth before men. But when you disobey him, you're denying him before men. Do you understand that? You're denying him. You're denying that person the opportunity to hear the truth. And you say, well, Lord, I'll just pray for him. Lord, send someone that can bring the truth to them. And the Lord looks over the throne with, hello. You, but Lord, I'm afraid and I'm hiding. The result is he will deny you before the Father. Now, what does that mean? I don't believe it means you lose your salvation. I think there will not be a conversation with the Father about you as far as sending the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You're going to start, you will begin to eat the fruit of your choices. You will reap what you sow. That's life. I don't know about you, but I want my voice spoken in the heavenlies positively. Amen? Now, in the spirit world, they can speak negatively all day long on the demonic. In fact, I would prefer that. Don't go around new wine. Bunch of fanatics over there. They cast demons out. I really would like at the demon bar my name may be mentioned negatively, but in the third heaven, I'd like to be mentioned positively. Father says, son says to the father, Chris, is standing up for what's right, Father. Father says, go, Holy Spirit. And a wham, anointing of the Holy Ghost. Man, life works when the Holy Ghost is on you. You know, it just works. Everything works. I want to ask you a question today. Could it be your refusal to stand up to others, regardless of personal consequence, could be the reason for a lot of spiritual dryness in your life? Think about it. Could it be your dogged refusal to get involved, to be bold, to confront, to stand up, to rescue, to speak the truth, could be the reason God, who loves you, he loves you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He just says, okay, there's so much I wanted to give you, I can't give you now. You're just going to have to eat the fruit of your choices. Could that be the reason? Just ask the Lord. Lord, is there something you're telling me to do that I have refused to do because of fear of man? Because I don't want to upset the apple cart. I don't want to be unpopular or rejected. I don't want to stir something up. I just pray. Let me ask you. Is it worth asking the Lord about? Hello? I'm in a situation, I don't want to go into details, in the business world with an individual. And it involved severe confrontation. It's kind of a dynamic going on, and I'm kind of caught myself in the middle of it, I guess because I'm a pastor, and I'm out there in the world, and they know I'm a pastor. So they're kind of drawing me in halfway, and there's some things of questionable integrity going on. It's just some individuals, and it happens. It's part of the world. So I've had opportunity to say a few things here and there. And you know how the Lord really gave it? He was really cool. There was a real temptation to just, well, let bygones, they're not, go to my church. I don't, you know what I'm saying? One of them isn't even saved. But all the more reason the Holy Ghost said, you need to speak. Amen? Do you know, just something transpired in the last couple of days. It was amazing. I'm not going into details. But it's obvious that God is moving in the lives of these people. God is moving. And I'm realizing now I thought there was a questionable integrity. The individual came to me and said, listen, this person said to me, I want to hear what you have to say about this situation. And I said, well, at some point we'll talk. I'm not ready to do it. I'm waiting on the Lord's timing. But it was remarkable to me. The person literally said, I want to hear what you feel about this situation. And man, that blew me away. I said, thank you, Jesus. That's what being a testimony is. Amen? But it wasn't easy. It was real tempting to not go there. But you know what? People out there are looking for somebody's going to speak the truth to them. Can you know what I mean? Have the guts to speak the truth. I've had in this business now two or three occasions. And it's just, I enjoy it. I'm glad to be in the world like that. And have opportunity to interject righteousness in unrighteous situations. Because you know, the truth is, the people I work with, they're decent people. Whether they know the Lord or not, I found the majority of people I work with are decent people. And and the bottom line is, they really do want the truth. You know, if you just present it right, amen, you don't bash them over the head. You know, it's great in meekness instructed. If you just go meekly and humbly and lovingly, it's amazing. People open up. Amen? Jesus tells us in Matthew to put a sword in every relationship. Most believers have butter knives. Am I right? He said a sword! Most believers have butter knives. I found that to be true. When you stand up for what's truth, you may be despised, rejected of men, a woman, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief. Demons and other people may speak venomous things against you. Oh, they will. Demons in people, not just in the air, but inside of people, will not only speak venomous things against you, but will speak venomous things about you to others. Are you willing to go there? No. Thanks, but no. I got enough carp in my life. I don't need that. But you know what? Here's the payback. Listen, here's the payback. God the Son will bring up your name to God the Father. And God the Father will turn to God the Holy Spirit and says, go get him. In him we dwell, live and dwell and have our being. How good for the Trinity to be involved with you. Are you hearing me? What's life about? Why are we here? Why are we here? I mean, aren't y'all glad you made it to church today? How many of y'all had to be on the freeway to get here? Aren't you glad you made it? Could have died. Why are you still alive? Why are we here? Is it to amass riches? Is it to build a family and help kids? All that's part of it. But why are we fundamentally here? You know why we're here? It's to give glory to the Lord and to serve him with all our heart. That's why we're here. Amen? And you know how you do it? You be his hands. And you know how you do that? Say, Lord, I'm available. And when the Holy Ghost says, good, there's something unrighteous. Y'all heard the story when I was coming back from New Orleans with a salesman back in the early 80s. I just got out of college. I was with this company. And we went to Café Du Monde, my favorite place to have coffee and donuts. And this salesman, and he invited some friends, and we sat down at Café Du Monde and had coffee and donuts. We were over there for business. And he had some friends. They were not part of the business. Now, you understand, when you're on a business trip, everything's business expense. But this guy brought a bunch of friends there that had nothing to do with our business. And he paid for all of their food under his business expense. And we were driving back from New Orleans. About the time we hit Lafayette, my conscience couldn't handle it anymore. I fought God from New Orleans to Lafayette. I am not going to say this. I'm not going to share this. The guy's unsaved. Why go there? God wouldn't get off me. Finally, in Lafayette, I turned to the guy. I said, you know, and I told him I had a problem with that. That was dishonest. Here I am, you know, new job, new salesman, you know, and I just felt it was dishonest. What he did was dishonest. And it was. But it was dishonest. This guy turned to me. He lashed at me. I realized that was a demon. He said, you don't know what you're a young salesman. You don't know, but you'll never succeed. He just, bleh, this demon came out. And do you know, he was silent all the rest from Lafayette to Houston. Not a word. Kind of hard to sit in a car for another 2.5 hours with somebody right there not saying a word to you. Just angry, seething. He was a partner at our company. I know he went and talked to my boss when we got back. And that whole way, I remember sitting there, I remember that ride, just, oh, Jesus, what'd I do? I done blowed my career. I just started, got to go to my first little trip to New Orleans, blew it. That's it. But you know, I didn't realize that God the Son was talking to God the Father about what I did. And God the Father sent the Holy Ghost. Because truth is, when I came back, God began to do marvelous things with that company and my life. He began to open doors and open doors and open doors. That guy, he just ended up getting laid off. I don't know where he is. Bless him, Lord. But you know, I just thank the Lord. I have a conscience that wouldn't let me go. You understand what I'm saying? It ate my lunch. A tender conscience. Lord was on me. Say something. And I've learned, I don't want to be like Adam. I was like that most of my life. No, Lord, I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm hiding. You know what? No thanks. I don't want to relegate the back of the bus anymore. I want to be the driver. Amen? You can drive. You just have the guts. It's guts. Amen? How many Ahabs we got here? Wimps. Are you a wimp or a winner? Don't raise your hand, boy. I'll slap you down. Praise God. Everybody got the message today? Hello? How many want the pleasure that love? It's all about pleasing the Lord, fearing the Lord, obeying the Lord. And you know what? He'll eliminate that dryness. He'll blow away all the whatever. He'll make your life exciting. He really will. Well, it'll be kind of scary and hairy. Kind of, you know, it may not be like you walk in a room, people kind of get real silent, look at you with sideways glances, kind of, you know, oh my God, there he is, there she is. But you know what? When I was my first saved, I was on my college campus at Lafayette. Wasn't saved 2 months. And all the guys would have dinner at the ladies, the girls' cafeteria. They had back then, they had a guys' cafeteria and a girls' cafeteria. So where I was with the guys, and they let them eat, so all the guys would be over at the girls' cafeteria, you know. Girls would go to the guys' cafeteria. But anyway, we were all out there. About 100 students standing out there waiting to get in. And I'm standing there. I had been saved. I've been on campus about a week. And there was this little concrete parapet that came right next to the stairs. And I felt the Holy Ghost said, you stand up and you proclaim my name. So I got up on that concrete thing and I held my hand up like this and the crowd got quiet. And I said, I'm going to tell y'all. And I told that 100 people that fall day of September 1971 that I had met Jesus Christ that summer and he lived in my heart and he was alive and they could be saved. And I got back down, got in line, went on the cafeteria, had the dinner. By a day or two later, I was going through one of the hallways, another part of the campus. I remember just going to class, and there were some people talking. They all got still and quiet. And they kind of looked at me. I remember thinking, yes. Nobody noticed me before. I was a loser. Now I'm a recognized loser. Amen. Yeah. At least I'm not some backdoor wimp. You know what? God came on that campus. I met a one-legged guy who'd lost his leg in a motorcycle wreck at Vietnam, had a wheelchair, and he came to know Jesus. Met another guy. His name was Mike Russ. Right now he lives north of Houston, still following the Lord. Had a beer bottle in one hand, a girl in the other, led him to the Lord. A couple of people, we got him saved. We started a little ministry right in the heart of campus. We take the bread, the loaves of bread, take it down to the little fish pond and feed them. And do you know, about 3 or 4 weeks later, I was standing in the UC, that's the University Center. There's about 200 to 250 students in a big circle, and I was in the middle preaching the gospel to them. And we were leading kids with the Lord. We rented a fraternity house, called it Maranatha House, painted flowers all over. You know, this was the 60s, you know, doves. We believe... Over 600 students come through there, and we didn't know. Come to the Lord. Now, how many of them stuck? I don't know. I didn't know about Ray Comfort preaching the law back then, you know. But you know what? The Lord, the Father, looked down, and he blessed me. To this day, my fondest memory of life was that fall of 71 in Lafayette, Louisiana. I saw the gospel of the kingdom smash into a little fraternity town of drunks and stoners. And why? Because one day Jesus said, you get up on that concrete and you preach my word. And I just thanked the Lord. I'm just fanatic enough. I said, why not? What I got to lose? Right? Amen? What I got to lose? Made some enemies and made a whole lot more friends. Lord, I thank you today for the boldness of the Holy Ghost. You said I came to send fire in the earth. You baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. I thank you. You baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire. And Lord, I pray for the fire on all of us. On Pentecost, they had a flame of fire on them, Lord. Fire us up in the Spirit to be bold as a lion. To not care what people think. You didn't. You didn't. You cleansed the temple. You didn't care what anybody thought. You ate with the sinners. You cavorted with the lowly. You preached boldly. You didn't care. Paul didn't care. Peter, none of them cared. They care more what you thought. And boy, you blessed them. And Lord, I just thank you today. You blessed my life. I look back. Thank you, Jesus. I just had a birthday this week. You know, you reflect at birthday times. I said, thank you, Lord, for the 53 years I've lived. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the fire of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray you'd fire us up and we'd be passionate and bold. I'm not telling you, you got to do what I did. I'm just telling you, you need to do what he's telling you to do. Can you hear an amen? That's what he told me to do. What's he telling you to do? May not be something radical like that. Frankly, I don't know that I'd do that now. I probably would. You're a lot more bolder when you're new. But then you're a lot more wiser when you're older. But you know, the Lord, in any way, what's he telling you? Don't be afraid. Don't be like Adam. Amen?